Could you please take your seats? We are about to start the meeting. Good morning again, ladies and gentlemen. I wish to call the meeting to order. Thanks God, it's nice seeing all of you. And I wish to formally invite you to start sitting and proceed with our 31st session. And before we continue, I wish to invite the secretary to give us information about the way the communication system works and any other information that will be important for staying in this room and in Rome, in Geneva maybe. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This meeting is being held in five languages: English, Spanish, French, Arabic, and Chinese. There is also a sixth channel, which would allow you to listen to the original language, the interventions in original language. At this point, I return the microphone to you, and I will come back at later stage for housekeeping announcements. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And now I have the privilege to invite Mr. David Heymann, Assistant Director General of WHO, to give a statement on behalf of WHO. Mr. Heymann, please.
Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to welcome you to Geneva, especially with such beautiful weather at this time of year for the 31st session. And I bring you greetings from the Director General, who was unable to come this morning, but who knows that you're here and has asked me to give you her best wishes. Over the past week, as I've been thinking about the importance of this meeting, three different things came to mind. First of all was an advertisement or a publicity that I saw recently in a newspaper advertising a local supermarket chain or a national supermarket chain. That advertisement said that 80% of all the food sold by that supermarket chain came from the country in which that chain was sitting, and that only 20% came from an international source. Right away, that called to my attention two different issues that are very important. Number one, the perception that national goods are safer than international goods may not be a correct perception. And that shows the importance of codex and national legislation to make sure that what was said in this publicity is really true. And the second was the importance of international activities and the importance of the codex system to make sure that those goods traded internationally are of greatest security. So this advertisement was a very important message to me about the importance of what you're doing and about codex. The second article that I read during the past week was about the trans fatty acid issues and the importance that that plays now in Northern European countries and in North American countries, and how important that link is between food safety and nutrition. And this, again, is a major challenge for Codex as you move ahead in making sure that those links are strengthened from the vertical to the horizontal activities of Codex. And the third issue that came to mind was an issue that was actually an FAO, OIE, WHO issue back last year in October and November. At that time, as many of you know, there was an outbreak of Rift Valley fever in East Africa. And at the same time, there was an increase in trade, both legal and illegal, across the Red Sea with animals that were being traded for religious purposes and for the essential sacrifices. The investigation occurred in East Africa in a joint operation, a very close operation between FAO, OIE, and WHO. But when it came to time to declaring the outbreak, it was only the health ministries in those countries that felt comfortable in declaring the outbreak. So FAO, OIE, and WHO together developed a message that went out to the international health regulation focal points, the health focal points in each country in the world, describing the situation and saying why it was very important at this point to be very careful with animal sacrifices, showing the importance of safety from the farm all the way to the fork. And this, again, was a very important issue that came to mind over the past week as I was thinking about what to discuss with you this week in a welcoming address. At the same time, WHO has increased its importance that it places on Codex, and this is recognized in our budget. If any of you have sat through our budgeting process, where you'll see for the first time that food safety budget linked with the nutrition budget has increased in WHO, and it's increased by the greatest percentage of all of our activities. This will permit us to maintain our contribution to the Codex Secretariat at the same levels as in 2004-2005. At the same time, our World Health Assembly, the WHO governing body, is also placing more importance on Codex issues, and that was witnessed in the report that was shared with the World Health Assembly on the work on powdered infant formula and the increased attention to health matters within Codex, which were deemed very important by our World Health Assembly. Finally, in order to increase our collaboration with FAO, we've increased our meetings at the level of the ADG and also at the levels of technical cooperation throughout our agencies. And we're hoping that this will help us increase the consumer confidence throughout the world about the food supply. As you know, the recognition of food safety is becoming more and more important in the world in various forums of WHO and FAO, but also last November in the Beijing Declaration on Food Safety, very important to the world in showing the commitment of a group of 50 countries to the issue of food safety. At the same time, WHO and FAO continue to invest in InfoSan, which is a very important means of notifying countries of food safety alerts and the importance of food safety alerts, and in helping mount a response internationally should that response be necessary. And InfoSan has been very closely linked with the international health regulations, those regulations that govern our activities at WHO internationally in the international health issues related to acute infectious diseases, acute chemical intoxications, and other issues of very great importance internationally. By linking the focal points, and there are 194 focal points for the international health regulations in all WHO member countries, in linking them with InfoSan, we have a direct entry point of information on food safety to ministries of health, a very great advance. I'd also like to just recognize and thank those contributors to the trust fund, to the Codex Trust Fund, which is very important to us in making sure that we have a balanced representation in our various meetings. We understand that there are some issues with some geographical areas of the world feeling that they're not receiving a sufficient contribution to their activities from the Codex Trust Fund. And we will be examining that this week in some bilateral meetings to make sure that we have a clear, transparent, and useful Codex Trust Fund system. Food safety regulation has never been more important in countries, and this must be transparent, and it must be based on the evidence. We continue to do our role in Codex to make sure that the evidence is available by ensuring those horizontal Codex committees, in particular those dealing with health issues that are crossing all the different vertical areas of Codex, making sure that health is discussed in each different vertical food area so that we don't lose track of the importance of health in the food safety issues. Finally, the Codex discussions on the powdered milk issues are very, very important and are leading us, have led us actually to guidelines for consumers and to guidelines for those working in the health area, specifically for health area, to ensure that the activities of Codex can now be institutionalized, mainstreamed, and adhered to within countries. There's still a lot of work within Codex, one of the most important being a streamlining of the way that Codex works, so it can more adhere to 21st century rather than 19th or 20th century activities. Back when Codex was created in the early 1960s, there were certainly not even thoughts about the rapidity of communications today, about how emergency committees can be convened within 24 hours on specific websites that let them discuss issues and make decisions without having to bring people together. Face-to-face presence is very important, but it's also important to have other mechanisms which permit rapid and instantaneous communications and decision-making. And so I think it's very important as Codex moves ahead in the 21st century to see how the streamlining might be best done to make sure that this is a 21st century institution and not one depending on a government and an infrastructure which will slow its activities and make it less effective in the 21st century. So I think a lot of work to do in that area. We're working with our partners in FAO to make sure that that streamlining can occur based on your wishes. And I understand that you discussed these issues last week also in your committees, and I think it's a very important issue to perceive, to continue to pursue as we move ahead. So finally, again, I'd like to welcome you on behalf of Dr. Margaret Chan, our Director General, to WHO, and especially welcome our partners from FAO with whom we continue to have a very close and even closer alignment. And we will continue that as we work with FAO and OIE in what we're calling our One Health Program. This is a program which we're beginning, which will be a program that begins to help us change the paradigm from surveillance in humans as a means of identifying the issues in animals and in food safety to better identifying those issues before they become human issues, whether it be antimicrobial resistance or just simply poor practices at the farm level. So thank you all very much for coming to Geneva. Again, welcome on behalf of WHO to Geneva and to the 31st Codex Alimentarius. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. David Heyman. And now I have the privilege to invite Mr. Ezzedine Boutrif to give a statement on behalf of the Director General FAO, please.
Dr. Mosha, Chairperson of the Commission, Dr. Heyman, what to push? It's on. Sorry. Dr. Mosha, Chairperson of the Commission, Dr. Heyman, Assistant Director General of WHO, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, I would like to welcome you all to this 31st session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. This session has set yet a new record of participation. 135 pre-registered countries, over 50 observer organizations, and over 600 participants. It's another sign of the importance that members of the Codex Alimentarius Commission attach to the work of the Commission and of their sustained commitments to its dual objective of protecting the consumer's health and ensuring fair practices in the food trade. This session of the Commission takes place at a very crucial time in FAO's history. For the first time since its establishment in 1945, FAO has undergone an independent external evaluation which covered all aspects of its technical and policy work, its governance and structure. The extensive and comprehensive evaluation report is currently under close review by FAO's membership in consultation with management. The outcome is expected to be discussed at the extraordinary session of the FAO conference in November of this year. While it is difficult at this stage to predict the impact of this evaluation on FAO's work in general, it's rewarding to note that the evaluators have given high score to the joint FAO-WHO food standards program implemented by the Codex Alimentarius Commission and valued the continued collaboration between FAO and WHO on food safety and consumer protection. The report cited the current FAO-WHO work in food safety and nutrition as a model for interagency collaboration. Another event that marked FAO's history is the high-level conference that was held about a month ago in Rome at the joint invitation of the Secretary-General of the United Nations and the Director-General of FAO to address the impact on world food security of soaring food prices, climate change and bioenergy. The resolution adopted by the conference highlights the renewed commitment of the international community to the fight against food insecurity, hunger and malnutrition. This cannot be achieved without increased food availability and improved access to food. In this respect, Codex standards, guidelines and recommendations make an important contribution to improved food availability, diet diversity, enhanced nutrition and food safety by facilitating international food trade. FAO governing bodies continue to attach high priority to the joint FAO-WHO food standards program. This is reflected in the budget level approved for the biennium 2008-2009, and which provides a 22% increase over the previous biennium to offset the loss in US dollar value against the euro and maintain the same purchasing power so that the Codex Secretariat could continue its business under normal conditions. I'm afraid to say, Mr. Chairman, that our sister organization, WHO, did not make the same effort, so that the imbalance between FAO and WHO's contribution to Codex budget has been stagnant in nominal terms and had hit record low of 85-15 proportion between the two contributions. In fact, during the last 4 years, WHO's contribution to Codex budget has been stagnant in nominal terms, obliging FAO to fill the gap with incremental increases every biennium to enable the Secretariat to carry out its work. You would agree, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, that this situation is unsustainable from the FAO point of view and needs to be addressed by management of both organizations at the highest level. The extraordinary session of the FAO conference that will take place in November of this year is expected to re-examine FAO's budget in light of new priorities that would have been identified and agreed upon. We are confident that Codex will remain among the highest priorities of the organization. Distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, there are several issues on your agenda in this session. One of those which require your full attention and consideration is the review of the Codex committee structure and mandates of Codex committees and task forces. The current structure is far too fragmented and requires too many meetings, which have become a real burden for both the Secretariat and the member countries. Several proposals have been made by the Secretariat and a document has been produced for that purpose, which you will be discussing later this week. You need to consider these proposals and provide guidance on the way forward. This will require your innovative, creative, and courageous attitude to break with the past and explore new avenues that will facilitate your work, reduce costs, and make the Codex system both efficient and manageable. Another issue that you need to reflect upon is the proliferation of private standards in international and national food trade and the negative consequences that these standards are having on the capacity of small producers and traders to access lucrative markets dominated by multinational retailers and food service providers. This issue was the subject of intense discussion at the SPS committee meetings in recent years, including the one held last week here in Geneva. A special briefing on private standard was organized last Thursday by the Secretariat of the Standard and Trade Development Facility hosted by the WTO. This was an occasion for the private standard owners to present their views to a large number of delegates from developed and developing world and to inform of recent progress made to harmonize certification requirements between these owners. While most of the food safety requirements of these standards are indeed in line with the Codex standards, some of them were judged of being more stringent and to create difficulties for small producers and traders. We should ask ourselves, what will be the fate of public standards if this trend continues, or if it is even amplified? Perhaps we should encourage the promoters of these standards to base their standards on Codex recommendations, and we, as Codex, should closely monitor the development of discussion in WTO and offer our contributions where necessary. The third issue that I would like to draw your attention to is that of consensus. This has been raised by several delegations in recent years, and we hope that in its next session, the Codex Committee on General Principles can address this question and guide the Commission on the way forward. We should be conscious of the fact that a narrow and stringent definition of consensus, such as unanimity, for instance, would result in a real blockage of the process, allowing few countries to veto the Commission's decision. We have to protect Codex from this risk. A part of the success of Codex, Mr. Chairman, stems from the fact that its standard-setting process is transparent, democratic, and open to participation of all members and observers. Maintaining and increasing good communication with all internal and external partners, as well as the public, are essential to strengthen these values. At this session, new materials, including a CD-ROM on Codex, can be seen and collected at the document desk. To stimulate communication between the Secretariat and Codex contact points on one hand, and between the Codex contact points themselves on the other, the Codex Secretariat plans to issue a newsletter which will be disseminated electronically to all members. An extensive overhaul of the Codex website is ongoing and at this moment and will give it new functions and make it more interactive and user-friendly. The Codex information sources that assist Codex members are complemented by the FAO International Portal on Food Safety, Animal and Plant Health. This portal is being constantly improved and further developed. It will be the host of a new database containing information on food safety assessment of recombinant DNA plants. And thus, will work in tandem with the Codex guidelines on the food safety assessment of rDNA plants. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, independent, transparent scientific advice is a basis for policy and decision-making in Codex. FAO, together with WHO, continue to strive to respond to the needs expressed by the Codex Alimentarius Commission and to meet the growing demand for scientific advice as challenges in the fields of food safety and nutrition continue to emerge. FAO and WHO are also looking into opportunities for enhancing the participation of experts from developing countries in expert meetings and consultation, and in the use of data from these countries in the elaboration of international scientific advice. We have recently established a global initiative for food-related scientific advice, GIFSA, to strengthen the financial basis for the provision of scientific advice. I take this opportunity to call upon donor countries and institutions to contribute generously to this fund so that FAO and WHO can respond to the Commission's needs and requests in a timely manner. On capacity building, which is very dear to FAO and FAO member countries, particularly developing ones, FAO continues to support developing countries' effort to develop their capacity in codecs and related food control matters. These include enhancing their capacity to organize and manage their food control systems, harmonizing their food standards and regulations with Codex Alimentarius, participating effectively in the work of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, and integrating quality and safety assurance systems along the food chain and exchanging and disseminating information on food quality and safety. FAO does not provide capacity building in isolation. Together with WHO, OIE, WTO and the World Bank, FAO is an active partner of the Standard and Trade Development Facilities, which is hosted by WTO. This facility assists countries in need to develop their capacities in food safety, animal health, and plant health. It has been instrumental in supporting the implementation or the formulation of a number of projects dealing directly with Codex. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a number of side events that will be taking place during this session to provide ample information on these activities, including a demonstration of the new e-learning course on Codex, now available on internet and on CD-ROM. And I would like to announce here that a couple of weeks ago, there was the first e-learning course that took place in Latin America and the Caribbean, involving 33 countries and over 500 participants. This has been organized jointly between FAO and ICA, and we feel that this type of initiative should be repeated for other regions. The achievement of the joint FAO-WHO Trust Fund for enhanced participation in Codex over the last few years and the ongoing progress to further improve its services and usefulness for member countries have already been spoken about by Mr. Hyman. It remains to me, on behalf of FAO, to join Mr. Hyman in expressing our sincere gratitude to those countries who have contributed to the Trust Fund and express the hope that they will continue their support in the coming years and that more countries will join them in this effort. In concluding, Mr. Chairman, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, you have a heavy agenda ahead of you, maybe heavier than usual, because you have also to elect a new bureau for the Commission. Let me take this opportunity to thank you, Mr. Chairman, Moshe, and your three excellent vice chairpersons, Mrs. Karen Hulubak, Mrs. Noraini, Mohammed Osman, and Mr. Wim Vanek, for your leadership in steering the Commission over the last 3 years. Let me close by inviting you to make use of the opportunities that this Commission can offer. The plenary sessions are, of course, the main event, but the numerous side events and regional meetings that are planned this week offer excellent opportunities to meet, exchange views, and make new friends. I wish you all the best of success in the coming week. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ezedin Boutrif. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure as a commission we can start thanking WHO for the welcome and hospitality that we are already enjoying while in Geneva. We take note of the two presentations and would endeavor to attend seriously to all the issues raised in the two presentations. We do appreciate and recognize the recognition both WHO and FAO continue to give to Codex. And we also note the increased attention Codex receives in different fora of both WHO and FAO. But we believe Codex could receive even more, if not the attention it deserves, in the wider WHO and the FAO context, if the World Health Assembly and the FAO conference could put Codex on the agenda items of this very important fora, and maybe let the chairman of the Codex Alimentarius to report or present the report this commission prepares after every session or publishes after every session to these very important meetings. We believe in that way Codex will receive both political and policy makers' attention. And we could also argue the same for the respective regional and WHO meetings. It would be appreciated if the regional joint FAO-WHO coordinating committees, the coordinators could get some minutes, if not a substantial time in the agenda of these regional meetings, to present the progress of Codex within their regions. We also note the demonstrated wish for the two organizations to ensure that Codex remains among the highest priorities of the organizations when it comes to budget allocation. But it's also a sincere hope of this commission that the allocation from both organizations to be proportionate to becoming almost 50-50 from both FAO and WHO as compared to the current situation where FAO is giving more than WHO. Indeed, the provision of scientific advice from these two organizations would continue to appreciate, and we welcome the initiative by both organizations to say that experts and data from the developing world is input in the expert scientific bodies and HR consultative work groups. Of course, we also note the different Codex enhancement activities being done by our two parent organizations, namely the Codex Trust Fund, which has really enabled, I think we have a record participation in this session, and maybe it could be due to partly to the trust fund. And of course, there are a lot of other capacity building activities being done at regional and national levels to ensure that Codex is well appreciated, and of course, the countries can participate effectively in the Codex process. And again, as I said at the beginning, we note the two presentations and all the issues raised. We shall endeavor to consider them. And indeed, some of those form a substantial part of the agenda items of this session. With those few remarks, I wish to again thank FAO and WHO for the presentations. Thank you. I wish now to take some 2 minutes off to make sure we can rearrange the high table.
Housekeeping announcements.
Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have quite a few pieces of information to share with you. First, as the chairperson already noted, we have received a record number of pre-registrations from Codex members. This is for this reason, we have to make a seating arrangement in this room in such a way that every delegation gets one front seat and one back seat. So this is a equal treatment to all countries and in accordance with the UN principles. This being said, we have put in place sort of buffer zone, two rows of seats between delegates' seats and observers' seats. So please feel free to use that extra seats to accommodate the advisors of your delegation. We also distributed a document or information guide for delegates to make your stay in Geneva easier. I will not go into details. Let me nevertheless say that the easiest way to get your lunch is to go to the cafeteria of CICZ, which operates every day. And also, on the ground level, you have a cafe, which is open from 7 to 17 hours. The nearest bank would be a branch of United Bank of Switzerland, which is just one street across from the CICG. And you also have a post office within the CIC. In this room, the Wi-Fi connection is available for those of you who have carried the personal computers that has the capacity to connect to internet through Wi-Fi. The username you can use is FAO, FAO in small letters, and your password is Codex, again in small letters. I repeat it, username FAO, password Codex. We wanted to use the WHO as a password, but it didn't work somewhere. So we had to change the password. This being said, we kindly ask all delegations to turn off your mobile phones while in this room. Mobile phones can be used outside this room, especially when your mobile phone is open and sending and receiving SMS close to an open microphone. It provides unpleasant parasite noises. We are now starting very shortly our substantive discussion, but I'd like to remind the delegations that the true and core business of this session this week also includes the adoption of report, which will take place on Friday afternoon. So I'd like to make sure that all delegations will stay until the very end of business this week. A few words about the elections. The current officers of the Commission will reach the end of their term of office at the end of this session, which is on Friday, and they are not eligible to hold the same office because all of the members of the Bureau of the Commission have already served three terms. For this reason, we have foreseen the election for the chairperson to take place on Tuesday evening, starting at 5:30, and the same for vice chairpersons on Wednesday. Because of the arrangements we made to make, particularly the organization of secret ballot, may take a few to several hours. Therefore, we'd like to have the delegations aware of the time requirement for the conduct of the elections. The head of delegation, when you have registered, should have received a badge with a big H on the background. This means head of delegation. And of course, when head of a delegation is not available in the room, his or her alternates can speak and also can vote on his behalf or on her behalf. The head of a delegation will also appear at the top of the list of participants. Therefore, those delegations who have not yet announced which member will act as the head of delegation, please make this information known to the secretariat, and especially at the documentation desk on the ground floor. Some of the Codex contact points have already announced that their details, addresses, email addresses, etc., have changed. The list of Codex contact points we distributed is a screenshot of the data we have. I would like to take this opportunity to call on the all Codex points to proactively inform the Secretariat whenever you have any changes to your address contact details. And this applies to the Observer Organization as well. The receptions. We have the official reception tonight, starting in the main lobby area of this building at 18 hours this evening, hosted by Mr. David Heyman. All of the delegations and observers are kindly invited to join this social event to better know the others and make friends. We have been informed that there will be two non-official or unofficial receptions for the honor of the heads of delegation. One such reception will be organized by Malaysia over lunchtime in a venue next to this building. The other one will be offered by the United States to celebrate its Independence Day later this week, and it will be on Wednesday evening. Heads of delegation will soon receive an invitation from the United States delegation. Mr. Chairman, we have a very important side event which is not mentioned in the list of side events, which is one of the information paper. This is the ceremony of award giving. The award is WHO Food Safety Award. This award is given every 3 to 4 years to an individual or an organization which has contributed significantly to the work of food safety or including Codex at the international level. The ceremony will start at 5:50, 17 hours 50 today. Therefore, the usual business of the Commission will stop a few minutes before 5:50 this evening, and there will be a ceremony where the WHO Food Safety Award will be presented to the award winner. I kindly ask the all delegations to not to miss this chance, which immediately precedes the official reception. We have received a number of late comments in the form of written comments. Those delegations which have brought such comments with you are kindly requested to provide such documents to the documentation desk on the ground floor by 14 hours, 2 p.m. today. Otherwise, it would be very difficult for this commission session to have due regard to those late comments. Mr. Chairman, this is the end of my housekeeping announcement, and let me return the microphone over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And if Mr. Heyman, you would like to stay, we are very appreciative, but if you really want to move, then we can take 2 minutes to just give you opportunity to... Thank you. So we take 2 minutes to allow rearrangement of the high table. Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Take turns and the 2 minutes are over, and we are back to our session now. And before moving to the first agenda item, I would like to make a short announcement. And this is the European Community is participating in this meeting in accordance with paragraph 9 of Article 2 of the FAO Constitution and Rule 2 of Rules of Procedure of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. I have been asked to inform you that the declaration made by the European Community and its member states contained in document LIM 2. I will draw your attention of the meeting to this declaration. LIM 2. Again, the document is LIM 2, and let me take the liberty to go to the European Community to get to know how many members are participating in this room now. European Community, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Indeed, as you highlight, the European Community, as a condition of its membership of the Codex, is required to identify item by item where competence lies between the community and its member states, or indeed in certain cases where this competence is mixed. And in LIMNET document number 2, we outline exactly that. In terms of the representation of EC member states, when we counted earlier this morning, there were 25 present, but at any moment in time, of course, it may be lower or higher than that, and I would recall that there are 27 EC member states. Thank you.
Thank you, European Community. And now I wish to start agenda item 1. And can I invite the Secretary, please, to introduce the agenda item?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The relevant document is the provisional agenda, which was circulated to the members in February this year. The document code is ARINORM 08/31/1. There are a few complementary documents, ARINORM 08/31/1A, provides information about the whole range of documents and which documents will be referred to under each of the agenda item. I therefore recommend that the delegations keep this supplementary document always on the table so that they can identify easily the documents they need under each of the agenda item. According to Rule 7.5 of the rules of procedure of the Commission. Any member of the Commission may, after the dispatch of provisional agenda, propose the inclusion of specific items in the agenda. Until this morning, we have not received such proposals. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, the Commission could consider adopting the provisional agenda as it is, as the agenda for the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And I now wish to invite the Commission to adopt the provisional agenda as the agenda of this session. That is Uruguay. Uruguay, please. Egypt. Can we hear?
No.
We cannot hear. Microphone?
Now, yes. Gracias, señor presidente. En nombre de Uruguay, quisiera pedir que, si fuera posible, si se pudiera incluir en el programa de esta reunión el tema relativo a la distribución de los documentos del Códex en los idiomas oficiales, en lo que tiene que ver a que se reciban de manera simultánea y oportuna en los distintos países miembros, con la finalidad que se facilite el contestar estos documentos de manera satisfactoria. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Uruguay. Egypt, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس. أسرع أخيرا في اجتماعات منظمة التجارة الدولية موضوع البرايفت ستاندرز والكودك ستاندرز. ما هي العلاقة؟ كيف نحدد العلاقة بين كل من المواصفتين؟ وأيهما نتبع؟ أرجو إذا كان هناك وقت لمناقشة هذا الموضوع الهام. هذا بالإضافة إلى ما ذكره السيد مندوب منظمة الأغذية والزراعة بالنسبة للتركيز على الاشتراطات الخاصة بالمتطلبات الخاصة بسلامة الأغذية والعمل المزدوج في تقييم الأغذية المنتجة بالهندسة الوراثية حتى يكون هناك جهد ضائع بين أكثر من جهة. شكرا سيد الرئيس.
Thank you, Egypt. Uruguay, if I come back to you, what is the other country there? Uganda?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. During the presentation of FAO, the issue of private standards and the way they are affecting the public standards has become a very important issue for developing countries. I would therefore request, Mr. Chairman, that either under the any other business or some we spend a bit of time to receive guidance from the Commission on how we should proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Uganda. Any other flag? Argentina, please. Sorry.
Gracias, señor presidente. Argentina apoya lo señalado por Uruguay. Creemos que es un tema sobre el que la Comisión tiene que discutir. Los países que no somos de lengua inglesa pretendemos recibir en simultáneo los documentos que circula el Códex para tener todas las mismas oportunidades y el mismo tiempo para hacer comentarios y reflexionar sobre los documentos. También nos ha parecido muy importante lo señalado por Egipto y por Uganda, que ya habíamos manifestado en nuestras intervenciones en el Comité Ejecutivo. Próximamente la Organización Mundial de Comercio, es posible que establezca un grupo de trabajo para analizar el impacto de las normas privadas, y nosotros creemos que el secretariado del CODES, que es quien nos representa, debe tener instrucciones precisas de la Comisión respecto a cuál es la opinión de sus miembros en relación con la proliferación de las normas privadas. En lo particular, Argentina considera que como miembro del CODEX debemos hacer todo lo posible para que las normas del CODEX sean las que sigan prevaleciendo en el mercado internacional. De lo contrario, nuestra labor aquí prácticamente no tendría sentido. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina. The two issues raised are very important. And Colombia, if you are on the same issue as supported by Argentina, I'm going to make a very positive decision on this. If you can hold and see if you'll be comfortable with what I'm going to say. First of all, on the issue of timely availability of the codex text and working documents in different languages, that we can handle. And I think we have heard several times on this issue, and it deserves to have a room in our commission session. And I was going to propose we handle it under item on other business. That's item number 11, right? No, on item number 18, other business. I think the Commission can agree with that. And then the issue of private standards, yes, it has been raised, and in fact, it was discussed in the December Executive Committee meeting, and in the Executive Committee meeting just ended last week. And I wish to ask the members to hold their views and raise the same when we discuss agenda item 11B. And we should make sure they receive the attention they deserve. I hope the Commission can live with this suggestion. Colombia, I still see your flag up. Is it something else or the summary I've mentioned? Colombia, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Nos aporta algo su posición, pero yo quisiera reiterar al respecto de la propuesta de Uruguay, tal como Colombia dejó sentada su posición en la pasada reunión de la Comisión, cuando el tema de la distribución simultánea de los informes en los idiomas oficiales se propuso, pero al final de la sesión de la Comisión no se dio por falta de tiempo. Yo quisiera saber si hay una promesa formal de que este tema va a ser tratado en el punto 18 y que no vayamos a decir al final que por falta de tiempo no se pudo tratar. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Colombia. I also very well remember that was the situation in the last commission meeting, and my only wish is one, that I would really request the cooperation of all the delegations here to make sure at least for once I'm able to finish the agenda items of the session and in a manner that every item will receive the due consideration. Thank you very much. If there are no any other observations, then we adopt the agenda, the provisional agenda of this as the agenda of this session, with the two, with one insertion or one item to be discussed under agenda item 18, other businesses, and that will be the timely availability of codex texts and working documents in all the official languages. Thank you very much. We have adopted the agenda, and can we then go to agenda number 2?